something that I want to preach on this morning that I think that is something very easy that I fail at because I'm so busy at looking at things in front of me so often. And so this is just something I want to talk about this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning for Your Word and Your truth. Thankful for the message that Mark gave this morning, for Timmy teaching the youth and the children. God, we just lift You up. I'm so thankful for this body of believers, many, many that are out for all different reasons, but I'm encouraged that they've kept in touch with me and let me know they're not here, let me know that they miss it, because this is like a family, and I'm just so thankful that I have a large spiritual family that I believe is true and is right, and just so thankful. We just continue to pray for the Canons, and we continue to lift them up and encourage them. We understand clearly that Your grace is sufficient, and God, we just we pray that we would recognize those things that You are about, and also recognize that there are many things that You are not about right now at this time. But to also remember there's many that we love that may be worried or hurt or sad. God, may we lift up Anna and her family as they leave, that we would remind ourselves of them every morning. They wouldn't be forgotten as they're away, that maybe they will be able to touch others in the Philippines. God, we're just, again, a thankful people. I pray as we open Your Word this morning in Philippians that it would remind us and be clear to how we are to be as a body of believers. In Your name we pray. Amen. Philippians 3:1. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now Paul here says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And hold your place there and go to Philippians chapter 4 and also look at what verse 4 says. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." This word rejoice, as I thought about it this week, as I was just doing just fun reading, just skimming, just having a good time, just sometimes I just like to open, just read a letter, you know. When I got to this, it stopped me a little bit. And when I thought of this word, rejoice, I thought, what in the world do I think about when I see that word rejoice all the time? And I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, I'm thinking of something that happened, something I was at, or something I remember, or even you can go back to Christmas as a kid, and all these things that you think of rejoicing in, okay? But as I read these two verses, and I notice in verse 4, when he says, in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You think about what the Apostle Paul was talking about. And when you see this word rejoice, I started noticing it meant more like being calmly, just calm in all the things that are around you, in the fact that you can rejoice. There's things that are going on in our lives that we would have a hard time rejoicing in, because we think of that physically, right? We think of a physical rejoicing. But the rejoicing that Paul is talking about is a calm rejoice, having peace with God. Does that make sense? Even when things aren't physically good for you, or things aren't, you're not happy about something, or something hits you, you still have a fact that you can rejoice, right? In the fact, when it comes to your salvation, right? And so it's being calmly, peace with God. What does that bring? Regardless of your circumstances or the physical things around you or the stuff that you're going through, when you have peace with God, there can be a happy calm, can't there? There can be the fact that you can say, you know, there is one thing that I do know, and it's the fact of knowing Christ and Him knowing you. And the fact that we can rejoice in whatever our circumstances are that are physical, spiritual, our blessings are in heavenly places. I was talking to my sister last night on Facebook while I was trying to study, and Timmy could hear me off and on. I'd be cackling in the background because you just got to know my sister. We grew up 3 years apart. I mean, we would fight, but we would love each other. I'm telling you, she could take a hairbrush and she could use it, buddy. I mean, she had three brothers. She would put welts on my head. I mean, when we were fighting, now don't get me wrong, I would bite the devil out. I mean, I would just bite it. We got in those kind of fights. Now, Mom and Dad would never know because they'd kill us. So we would hide it. But yet, still, in saying all that, we loved each other. We hung around each other. I was always invited everywhere she went. She was always invited. I used to get married because my friends ended up liking her when they'd come over. And you know, but I mean, we just grew up together this way. And I'm thankful for the fact of how we were raised. So last night on Facebook, saying all that, we were going back and forth. She's actually, I mean, her doctrinally different. There's a lot of things different about the way she believes and the way I believe. The fact I know I love her, the fact I believe she's saved, I rejoice in that fact also. But in saying all that, there is a happy calm that we can have even when we're going through physical things. Yesterday, the power goes off. Just bought groceries again. You know, when the tornado hit, we had bought groceries the night before. Well, Savannah and I ain't going to the store with you anymore, Savannah. We went to the store this week. I spent about $400 in groceries because you would have felt sorry for my kids if you'd opened my fridge. I mean, it's an old list. There's things that weren't there. Grant's eating a frozen pizza for 6 days in a row, you know. So I thought, you know what? We're going to the store. I went to Sam's. I went to Walmart. But the power's out. So it's just, you know, I'm not going to... But those are all those physical things that you want to get mad about that take your mind off of a happy calm that is so much more important. Well, talking to Katie last night, there's a lot of things that have gone on in the last, I guess, 6 months that I thought Mom and her had talked about before that, you know, she didn't have a clue. Well, I was in there telling her all my issues, you know, and come to find out, I thought, man, it's 1:30 in the morning. What are you doing up, you know? She's in a Jacksonville hotel, okay, where they found they had a bomb threat. And she's been in there for over 24 hours. They won't let her leave out of the room, you know, because they found a pipe bomb and there's another one they were looking for. See, you know, we're laughing at all these things that are nothing but physical circumstances that we can still have a happy calm about because there's so much more that's important. And I believe, again, it goes back to what Kevin said in the pulpit. You know, whom is serving who? When we think of the fact that we have a Creator that loves us, that has taken care of all this mess through things that aren't physical, that are spiritual, we have a lot to rejoice in, don't we? I mean, a whole lot. And sometimes we get an attitude, we'll come here on a Sunday or Wednesday, or we'll have it, and you know, I'm just tired and all these things. If we could just think on those things and the fact of what we need to rejoice in, I believe our attitudes would help through sharing this gospel. I mean, you know, nobody wants to hear what you have to say, whether it's biblical or not, if you're just hammering. Attitude is a lot. We talked about the last few weeks on judgment. Motivation is extremely important for why you do what you do. You know, I think of the video that I saw a few years ago. Another guy that doctrinally is very different than me, but he made the comment about Bullhorn Man. You know, a lot of y'all may have saw the video or whatever. I don't know, but it's a funny video. It's meant well, but he just says, he talks about the man on the street corner yelling at people, screaming at people, and he's just saying, you know, Bullhorn Man, just please stop. It's not helping anybody, you know. And the video is really good. You ought to watch it. It's really good. But we rejoice in it. It's a happy calm. We have peace with God even when physical circumstances aren't the way they want. And we need to keep those things in front of us. And I think when I see what Paul's saying here, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper as we read more about what he says, but the think of the word when he says rejoicing, my goal in all that is to get your mind off of those things of what you get or physical things, but rejoicing in the things that have become, that is a peace because of your salvation. I think those are things we need to keep in front of us. It's not so much physical or outward that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. We have a habit of making it that way, don't we? When you think of rejoicing in a church, as the way I grew up, what do you always think about? Standing up, hooping and hollering, raising your hands, crying. I mean, I've done it all. I've been emotionally moved. The sad thing is, not by the Word, which is fine to be emotionally moved, but emotionally moved by people and what they say that doesn't reference any Scripture. That more is a feeling inside, like a drug, like I need it the next week. Or it needs to be a little bit better the next week. I don't believe that's the rejoicing that the Apostle Paul speaks of. I believe the rejoicing in the fact that it comes from the truth of the Word. And you can't rejoice rightly if you don't know the truth of the Word. And so you spend your life looking for something to rejoice in when you don't know the Word, and you base it on all the physical things in your life. So a lot of times you're probably mad, unhappy, or don't like people. Right? Because you're always looking for something else that you can rejoice in. That's the problem with this world. Would you agree? So when you think of that word rejoice, it's not so much in the physical aspects where it's right, but it's the spiritual things. It's a happy call. And that, I guess that's why I think of that way. It's a peace. Not just having the peace of God, but having peace with God. And you can only have that if you know the Word. Right? So, the only way you can have peace with God is knowing the Word. When I thought I had peace with God 4 years back and further, okay, man, I was working at it. There's no peace in that. I always had to do something else. But now that I rejoice because I have the peace of God and I have peace with God, because I know my rejoicing has nothing to do with what I do. It has everything to do with what Christ did. And I'm telling you, every time I don't think of it that way, I will always struggle in being what a lot of people say, I just want to be happy. Don't you want me to be happy? You know, do you ever hear anybody say that? Trust me, I've heard it said. Okay? That's a sad, sad person that you ought to feel sorry for. They don't understand how to rejoice. Right? This is a big word that we don't speak of a whole lot that needs to be spoke of. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Let's give a better example. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 8. I was so tired last night. This is so funny. I told Timmy when we were leaving because it was about, I guess it's 3 in the morning. You know, I just got done. Not because I was studying that hard, I promise. It's because I was talking to my sister while I was trying to study. I was excited. I hadn't talked to her like in 6 months. I was pumped, you know. But anyway, I told Timmy, hey, my phone is dead. I don't have any electricity to plug my phone up. If my alarm don't go off, I need you to call me. So make sure I wake up. Well, you know, my phone's dead. He can't call me in. So that's how delirious I was last night. So, I just thought that was kind of funny. Psalms chapter 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." There's a haven here. There's a safety about the fact of Paul rejoicing, isn't it? That he wants others to know where they are saved. And I believe it's more in their thinking, in knowing truth, in knowing that word of rejoicing. You'll see why. Look at verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have
no confidence in the flesh. See, Paul is saying this is safe. The fact that what you rejoice in is not because you've gotten something physically. It's not because something's just gone your way physically. But we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now, dogs, which that's not like Timmy and Jamie's dog, Savannah, okay? We were trying to get the dog to jump on Savannah's lap last night. And she's, no, this is the dogs that will deceive you and will give you things that are wrong, that are not safe. They'll have you rejoice in things that make them happy. Right? It's the wrong doctrine, right? But we need to remember, we rejoice in what? In Christ Jesus. Right? Then he says here in verse 4, though I know y'all all heard what I said a while ago. Y'all are looking, okay, I'm bleep, messed up, whatever. Anyway, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. This is what you're speaking of this morning, Mark. I thought he's going to open that and read every bit of this and just steal the thunder. No, I'm kidding. Verse 4, notice what Paul says about himself. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see what Paul says here? You got to understand who the Apostle Paul was to understand this, what he's saying here. First of all, he shares how the things that we rejoice in Christ Jesus. The happy calm, the peace with God, not just the peace of God. He rejoices in the fact in those things, and it's safe. And you better watch what others would have you rejoice in. Okay? What would, in times past, those of Israel rejoice in? It would be the fact that they climbed the ladder in the way they kept the law. Whether at an age of maybe 14 years old, some child that had gone through school from a rabbi, they would continue to keep them going through school. That was a big thing. If you got to about age 12 or 13 as a young man, if a rabbi would say, "Come with me." It gave the picture when Christ would say, "Follow me." What did they call Christ? Rabbi. As a teacher to learn more. To climb that ladder. And that's who Paul was, man. He studied under the smartest people. He was, of all things, to everybody, above and beyond of all that he could do. If anybody could rejoice in the physical things that he did, the Apostle Paul could have done it, counting on those things in times past. Right? But when he knew to rejoice in Christ for the mystery, for what Christ had done for him, all those things that he did, he counted as what? Done. It was worth it all. And Paul, you know, it's as if, look, if anybody has anything to brag about what they've gone through and what they have successfully done physically, I could too. And Paul probably more than anybody. But it was his done once he realized what he needed to rejoice in. Right? And a lot of times we go through this life thinking what we need to rejoice in, how far we've come and all the things that we've done. And you're going to find out at the end of life, it's nothing but done. And people, all dogs, you need to beware of those who will deceive you and make you think that's success. Because you'll find out later in life, those things you rejoiced in were a big, fat waste. Right? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with with doing things and going places. I'm not telling you to give up everything. I mean, I'm going to enjoy my life. You know what? Today, we're taking Dad out to Big River, and I'm going to enjoy a good meal. I'm not saying be miserable as a false humility to rejoice. That would be the other side of it, wouldn't it? I just want you to understand what that word rejoice in and what you rejoice in. We have to live here, okay? But our focus should be in the fact of the happy calm. Whether things go our way or not physically, what we put our happy calm in is what we have peace with God. Right? I'm not asking you to take a sackcloth on and pour ashes all over yourself and show up to Kevin's Monday night like you're, well, this is who I am. No. That's what a lot of people would tell you, would want you to feel. They'd have you come to the altar this morning and feel like a dog and tell you how bad you are, and then they tell you what you need to do so you can rejoice. And it's not the fact that you rejoice in the physical things that you're all happy about, that God has blessed you with all these multitudes of things too. Do you see both sides? And I'm telling you, there are doctrines out there today. There are denominations out there today. That one end will tell you what God has blessed you with because you've been faithful, and it's all physical things. There's denominations today that will tell you that you better come down to this, and they'll make you feel like a dog, and that you ought to rejoice in that. And they're missing the whole point. The very thing that you rejoice in is the fact that you rejoice in Christ and what He did. Do y'all see those both sides? One denomination will do both to you. They'll knock you down to pick you up so you can sit in a golden chair and give all that you have and collect from everybody else. And they're missing it because they're rejoicing in physical things. Well, things changed. Paul said, if you're going to talk about those things, I count them as dung now. Look at verse 3 again. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. To me, as I read this, it's almost as if Paul rejoices to the extent that he promotes what he rejoices in, and he boasts in what he rejoices in. And what's that? In Christ Jesus. So it's not the fact that we don't ever say anything about it either. I mean, Paul is boasting in what he's rejoicing in. He is promoting what he rejoices in. See, a lot of times we finally get this, what it means, the happy calm, but we never promote it, and we don't even boast in it, do we? We understand now. We don't want to step on anybody's toes or hurt anybody's feelings. That's when we miss it, once we get it. And then the next thing you know, we're so caught up in what we do every day that I forget, me, the very thing that I ought to rejoice in. We become a grace believer who understands the knowledge and understands what Christ did for us, and then we don't promote it or boast it. Well, let me tell you, other denominations will sure boast in what they do, but you better become like them. Those are the dogs that will devour you and deceive you because of the responsibility you have in rejoicing. It is also, when we see what Paul says, don't you think it's a responsibility? And it's really natural. It should be natural. It should just be natural that we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Right? It should be natural. But sometimes it's not. And a lot of times it's not. We have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. If it's perfect, turn to Ephesians. Well, I'm just thinking about it. Ephesians chapter 2. We've read it over and over and over again. Chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. So I guess the question this morning would be, where is your boasting? Where is your boasting? Or to not sound so brash, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, where is your confidence? Maybe that won't hurt. Honestly, boasting's the right word. But where is your confidence? There's a lot of times I put confidence in physical circumstances and I blow it every time because I end up getting mad this morning in class. Yeah, that just overwhelmed me, you know, right off the bat. It's nothing but a physical thing. I put no confidence in what is said or what is done. I put my confidence and my peace is rejoicing in Christ. I'm telling you, that will carry you further than you know. I think of Diane, and there ain't nothing we can do. There ain't nothing you can do. But our confidence is in Christ. Whether physical circumstances come out good or bad, our confidence is in Christ. If we put in something else, we are going to be let down every time. It's good to know that I have confidence in someone that paid it all. Isn't that a good thing? Do you realize you can boast in the fact that you have confidence when you fully trust in what Christ did at the cross? In all these things around you, you can have fully confidence and you can boast in the fact that Jesus Christ paid it all. And that's why your confidence is in Him. See, I know, although I fail to rejoice a lot of times in the right things, I know that I'm secure in Christ. But my motivation and my attitude may show others that I'm not. That's a sad thing, because they need to know the truth. I know that I'm saved to the day of redemption. I know. I get tickled at those that rejoice today. They rejoice physically, and they tell you that it's real. And you know what they believe they can do? They believe they can lose their salvation. What kind of peace is that? There are many out there today that tell you to rejoice and they'll share with you that you can lose your salvation. I don't have any confidence in that. Just an example. See, we have no confidence in the flesh, right? To know, think you can lose or gain your salvation is putting confidence in your flesh. If anybody could be confident, it could have been Paul, right? And he wasn't confident. Where is your rejoicing? Where is your confidence? Where is your boasting in salvation? We can boast in salvation. Did you pray a prayer? Is that what you put your confidence on? What about confessing? You hear people tell them they need to confess their sins. How in the world could you put confidence in that? I could never mention all the sins that I've done. I know if I couldn't, Anna could. Could you put your confidence in making a deal with God? You know, there's a lot of people that, God, if you'll just do this, they'll make a deal with God. You know. Do you make confidence in making a new commitment? You know what? From now on, I'm going to do this. Let me tell you what. I've been committing on a diet for 40 years. Here I am. You understand what I'm saying? Put no confidence in what your commitments are. You put confidence in Christ Jesus and what He did. And you rejoice because it gives you peace in knowing that all those things around you are not near as important. In fact, they're not important at all. And you boast in the fact of the cross of Christ. And then you can share the gospel. And then you can share the ministry of reconciliation. Because as people see your daily life and the crud that you may go through, they also see your motivation for life. They see your attitude. Because your confidence is in Christ. That way when people say, well, he must not be living right, or, you know, or, who cares? They don't understand the confidence you have in Christ. You put confidence in, you know what, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. Let me tell you what, the other side of the leaf looks the same way. This is exactly what rejoicing away from Christ will do. It'll cause you to do those things.